everything's running smoothly.
Yo, yo, yo! What is going on? My name is Hartzell Kitty. Kitty is joining us across the line, sitting just directly to my left. This is your KC Morning Show. Kitty, say hello for the first time.
Meow. It's Monday morning,
okay,
and actually...
Okay. No. We're not. You gotta kick this thing off. You gotta kick this thing off with a meow. What kind of morning show radio do you think this is, Kitty?
The Kitty City Morning Show.
Oh, here we go. The Kitty City Morning Show. So it's gonna be like that, huh? This is how it's gonna be going forward?
That's how it's gonna roll, yeah.
We're in for it. What is today's date? What even is today? Today, Monday, August 31st. You want a real feel? Let me get you that real feel. 73 degrees. Your high today. It's gonna be like 74. No, it's gonna be 79. I'm new at this. I'm a weather guy now. High is 79, your low is going to be around 66 degrees. Dry off a little bit this afternoon, but then this evening, gonna be ramping back up. Chance of participation, right around 80%. That's pretty good, yeah, that's not a bad weather. Weather's simple. How's that, Kitty? Not too bad?
Sounds like it's gonna be a moist Monday.
Okay. You're just really coming in hot today, aren't you?
Yes, that is my specialty.
What up, Kitty? Welcome to the KC Morning Show. Stepping, I was going to say in front of the camera, but it's radio, so there is no camera. Kitty does, she did produce for us. You're going to continue to do that. But now you're going to talk a little bit, too. So welcome to the KC Morning Show, Kitty. Hello, hello.
Thank you. You know, I've always been told that I've got a face for radio.
Your mom said that same thing to you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, you should be very proud of yourself. I am so happy to have this voice. I'm happy to have your voice on this show. How many times I've been saying this? We have got to have some chicks on this show. I've been trying to have a woman's perspective on this show forever. We couldn't find the right fit. You know, we got a lot of friends who I've been chatting with. Thought maybe we can make it work. But you know what? We were thrust into a situation where, you know, Pete had to go do bigger and better things. My boy's getting looked at. And Kitty across the line here, she does our social media for us. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to have some guest hosts. That's the plan. It's going to have some people coming in, revolving door kind of situation. But I was like, you know what? Why don't we just record something, you know? Kitty and I, we showed up, studio, hit record. And I was like, oh, my God. Kitty's got legs. You might be good at this thing. So, you're going to be joining us for a while. I don't know if you know this, but you're going to be doing this for a little bit. So, congrats and welcome, Kitty.
Well, you know, push come to shove, if the shoe fits, I'll wear it. I will be this show's Cinderella.
You've come from a broadcasting background, right? I mean, it's not like I pulled you out of the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know how to talk. I like to think that you can say words. You're doing a great job right now. Keep talking.
Onomatopoeia.
Great. You nailed it. You got it.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Kitty, where are you from?
I am from a small town in the middle of nowhere. I won't even bother saying the name because you're not going to look it up.
No. What is it? Come on, let me look it up.
You know,
you say middle of nowhere, but what is middle of nowhere?
Middle of nowhere. Near college town, 20-minute drive to Walmart. I am from Centerview, Missouri.
Centerview, Missouri.
2-acre farm that was all family. Basically a commune, I guess one would say.
So when you're going to the big city, if you're going to town, is that Warrensburg for you? Kansas City is like going to, like a Kansas City trip to you if you're in Centerview. That's like a birthday weekend, right? I feel like if you're going to town, that's like what, Warrensburg?
Oh, yeah, no. Going to town for your birthday was hitting up the local Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
It's called Cancun.
As it should.
And, you know, you get the entire experience. You wear the sombrero. You party it up. It's a 30-minute tractor drive back home to the field. And, you know, you just wind down.
I love it. It's the beach and the boonies.
So, you know, here they say Centerview is a village in Johnson County, Missouri.
A village.
The population, I'm not kidding you, the population was 267 at the 2010 census.
Ah, according to our most recent available data.
I was counted in that census. I'm one of those 267.
Centerview folks, the few, the proud. Kitty, can we do this? Because this is something we can both agree on. Because this is a great chance for the KC Morning Hoes to get a chance to know you. The best way to do that, at least I found, is through song. And it's a new Music Monday. I think we're going to make that a thing on this show. We're gonna have a chance now, Kitty, to do a bit of a repilot, which I'm super, super excited about. We're going to have guest host on this show. So you're going to be joining in. So you're going to be a guaranteed spot. I'm going to be here because I think it's my show as far as I know. And we're going to have at least another person because we want to have a, you know, full-on morning show style, as many perspectives and many voices and as much good times as we can have. That's what we're going to do. New Music Monday, I think that's going to be a thing. We're going to throw in a bunch of new segments, including this new music on a Monday. And I have the best albums of 2020 so far. And I need your Gen Z perspective because there's some folks on this list. I don't know who this is. And
I work in music.
All right, Kitty. At number five, the top five of the best albums of 2020 so far. We're going to workshop this all together. So this right here.
My young perspective.
Mm-hmm, exactly. At number five, Moses Sumney. Have you heard this new record called Gray, Kitty?
With doubt, that's when I feel the most alive.
No, is it Gray, Kitty, or I'm confused now?
The record is called Gray. It is excellent. It's over 20 songs in this thing, spanning over an hour and 5 minutes of this electro alternative
album. I did not know you featured in new music.
We're doing it now, Kitty. It's a repilot, baby girl. Cutting into two parts.
No, get it? Because, you know, the album's called Gray. Your last name's Gray. It was a play on names.
Oh, you have to remember this. This is a morning show, Kitty. It's early.
It's too early for subtlety.
Early. Number four, we have listened to this one. I've checked this out. I know you've listened to it because you've listened to it with me. RTJ4, the new record from Run the Jewels, y'all.
Mastered economics, cause you took yourself from squalor. Slave. Mastered academics, cause your grace said you were scholar. Slave. Mastered Instagram, cause you can instigate a follow.
Shit.
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Yeah. Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Yeah. Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
I do really like that album. I like the bright colors of the cover. I like how loud and provocative they are. And one of the guys, this is not racist. He sounds like Ice Cube.
Talking about Killer Mike. Killer Mike's the best.
Yes.
Now this one is also so good. You may not have heard this one. You need to, KC Morning Hoes. Perfume Genius has a new record out. It's called Set My Heart on Fire. Immediately. Perfume Genius, the latest installment, and navigates through different influences in each track, from a soft pop and Jason, which is one of the tracks on the song, to Your Body Changes Everything, a more alt-rock heavy track, one of my favorites. You listen to this one, Kitty. You a fan of Bob Dylan?
I love Bob Dylan, my Bobby baby.
Rough and Rowdy Ways, the new one.
It's so good.
Key West is the place to be. If you're looking for immortality, stay on the road, follow the high, what do you find? Key West is fine and fair. If you lost your mind, you'll find it there. Key West is on the horizon line.
My man is a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Bob Dylan's voice has progressed into Rough and Rowdy Ways. His voice sounds so deep. It sounds so sexy. I don't care how old he is.
Sexy, you say it.
Sexy.
Wow, so that's what the
Bob
kids like.
Dylan.
So is this what the kids like?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I am lost. Because if you don't like that sound, this is that sound times 1,000 because it's Bob Dylan. He's also 79, so it's that rough voice times, like, you know, 79.
Rough. Rowdy.
And at number one, I guess I could have put together a list of Hartzell for this, couldn't I?
Ooh, could have done a list of Hartzell.
Fiona Apple has a new record.
Amazing.
If there's a theme, I guess, in 2020, maybe it's because everything is on fire. What we want right now is just maybe comfort.
It is that sex and aggravation sells in the time of 2020.
And number one, and rightfully so, this record is so good. The new one from Fiona Apple is called Fetch the Bolt Cutters. Yo, it's awesome.
It stole my fun, it stole my fun. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long. Fetch the bolt cutters, I've been in here too long.
And it has like so many like Easter eggs throughout. There's like a bunch of TV show references throughout it. It is Fiona Apple telling herself and her listeners to find freedom, according to NBCRightNow.com. This is her fifth studio album. It might be one of her best, which says a lot because it's Fiona Apple. She's got nothing but bangers.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty disappointed that Alanis Morissette's new album wasn't on that list.
Ooh, you're right.
Considering you're right. She had some hits like The Reasons I Drink, that song.
What's that? We'll throw that in. What's the name of that record?
Such Pretty Forks in the Road. And the cover is glittery. It is her face. I don't know if you've heard, but Alanis Morissette has actually been one of the advocates for at-home schooling, and she's doing an like hands-on approach. You know, so it means like the kids are actually involved in everything. So I'm sure they had their little hands up in the music studio, hitting stuff. I don't know the terms, but I'm sure she put that album into their curriculum this summer.
And if it wasn't in the curriculum, well, then teachers, I guess you ought to know.
What?
I was trying to make a you ought to know reference.
Oh, God. It's early. It's early, Hartzell. Welcome. Too early for subtlety. Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. It is August 31st, a Monday. In fact, my name's Hartzell. That's Kitty. Shall we do some news, my friend?
Let's go to the news.
In other news, this city needs its news.
News team, assemble!
Go! It's your KC Morning Show. My name is Hartzell. Kitty, episode one, the repilot, running it back, as they say. So far, so good. How you feeling? What do you think?
So far, so Gucci. You know, I'm feeling the vibes. I'm picking it up. You know, you're laying it down.
Oh, you spitting a little bit?
No, I am not going to be freestyle Kitty.
No, come on. Give the people what they want. They want some freestyling.
It's not Friday.
Oh, she did listen to the show. Hey, don't think that your responsibilities are done now. Like, you still got to do some tweets later on. Still need some Instagram posts to be done.
Oh, I will rile those hoes up.
I got a YouTube page that needs to be created. You are still our social media correspondent.
Yes.
As well as now, I guess, my number two. My right-hand woman.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that Hamilton reference.
I was going to steal it because I knew it was only a matter of time before you were going to steal it.
Yeah.
Let's do the news. We got some friends on the show. A new friend on the KC Morning Show joining us. A certain former mayor of Kansas City. What a get for your first show, Kitty. Mayor Sly James.
I was totally cornballing over meeting him the other day. At that Jazz on the Lawn, I saw him, and I did. I felt like a schoolgirl meeting her, you know, Twitter crush. He's just this old man, but oh my gosh.
Old man, easy.
He was so cool.
Easy. See, this Gen Z, y'all. Everybody's old in Kitty's eyes. Here we go. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm only 23.
That was such a good time. Yeah, Jazz on the Lawn, World War One Museum. A huge thanks to
it was a blast.
Everybody involved for having me out and get a chance to kind of co-host that deal with the former mayor. I didn't know what
Hartzell's being modest. He did not co-host. He basically ran that shindig, and the mayor had a little spiel here and there, and then did a song at the end. But Hartzell hosted the Jazz on the Lawn, in case you missed it.
Oh, you're far too kind. You're far, far too kind. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. How about Sly James getting on the mic? That was a hell of a send-off. That is how you do an encore right there.
And singing a song about Kansas City and our crazy women. I was really feeling the connection there.
Yeah, Sly's got pipes. I mean, I think he's enjoying retirement. He's got a book out. We're going to talk about that. He's got a brand new book out, and he's, you know, trying to get people fired up, ready to go change the world. But, you know, I think that my man might have a new career post-politics, just music Sly. He's got the name for it. He's got the bow tie. He's always frosty. So, yeah, it was just an excellent time. So, yeah, thanks to everyone at the World War I Museum, Grand Marquis. They were excellent. That band, one of my favorites in town. They're playing a show at Voltaire. Oh, God, I think their next show's moved to 26th. We'll look that up. Maybe we can throw that on for some events. One of the better days of 2020. So as we talk about good days, I guess let's talk about COVID. Let's do it! COVID!
We have new coronavirus numbers in from Missouri. The state is reporting more than 1,400 new coronavirus cases since yesterday and 12 new deaths. The rate of positive tests in Missouri keeps climbing. The state is sitting at 13.7%, and that's well above the national average of almost 6%. The state of Kansas is just above 11% positive.
And I feel like every day we just keep getting updates and updates. What's going on these college campuses, because we are seeing huge spikes. You just heard Missouri, our numbers are going so up. We are going so in the wrong direction, and a lot of that can be attributed to, yeah, these college campuses getting back in session, sororities, fraternities. Y'all nasty, y'all. Y'all nasty. Wash your damn hands.
In the span of just 1 week, nearly 13,000 Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19. Concern as more and more college campuses across the country report new coronavirus cases. At the University of Alabama, a troubling trend. As of Saturday, more than 1,200 students and 166 employees and staff have tested positive for the virus.
The university has a $2 billion economic impact. To lose the University of Alabama in-person classes will cost thousands of people's jobs.
Outbreaks have been identified at four different sororities at Kansas State University. That's according to news releases from the college, also the Riley County Health Department. Now, across the United States, at least 36 states now have reported positive cases at colleges and universities, adding now to the more than 8,700 cases to the country's overall tally. Now, you're doing online stuff. You went back to school this fall. Tell me, like, who are in these classes? So are you going with a lot of, like, older folks? There's a lot of people who came right out of high school, because I'm interested to see who's still going to class.
I have already seen people saying that they've got professors who have COVID because they have in-student learning.
Right.
You know, so I'm lucky. Mine is all online. It's all over Zoom. For the most part, everyone has their cameras on, so I guess I kind of scroll through the images. But to BH, I'm really hoping that no one is looking at my picture as much as I'm not looking at their picture.
Well, okay, you make such a good point about how, like, professors are catching COVID. And we may have said this last week or at a different show, but I feel like when we were talking about all these equations about, like, heading back to school and, you know, in-person versus virtual, we just all kind of blindly assumed that the teachers in these situations are going to be good actors. And I don't mean that maliciously. Like, I think everybody is well-intended. We're doing all this thing live. I mean, we're in a pandemic, and we've never done this before. But you've got to know that there are teachers, both young and old. A lot of teachers, by the way, are more my age. I'm 28. Who, you know, teachers who didn't really care about social distancing, and teachers who didn't really care about wearing masks, or some teachers who were anti-mask, or some teachers who just inadvertently caught the disease. So we've been kind of imagining that these teachers are going to be coming in with these, like, sterilized, you know, scrubs on, but they're human too, and they could be passing these things on to their students, who then could pass it on to their parents, who could pass it on to grandma and aunts and uncles. And I mean, it's just a whole can of worms, and I hope we're thinking about it.
So I feel that most of the teachers at my school have been advised to be more compassionate right now. You know, they're having to practice a lot more empathy and really just patience. So I've noticed that a lot of my teachers have added into their syllabus, you know, rather than, I guess, what the typical syllabus would say, they're all giving you another day or two to miss. Like, normally it'd be you miss two classes, you're dropped. You're dropped for the semester. Well, now they're saying, hey, let us know what's going on. If you miss three or four classes, we can work with you. You won't be automatically dropped. Just send us an email. Send someone a call. You know, they care more about your safety and your health. I mean, we're at home, you know? So even if I get COVID, I could still get on my computer in bed while I'm laying there with shakes and cold sweats. But I would rather have the option to have someone that's actually going to listen and care about my situation, which I think is what I'm finding most teachers are trying to do right now.
Friday Night Lights. I was anxiously awaiting the fallout from high school sports. You know, how was this going to work? We have schools that are playing football while their students are not even allowed inside of like the brick and mortar classrooms. This whole thing still doesn't make a ton of sense to me. We got some districts that are allowing a certain amount of tickets per family, whereas some schools aren't allowing any tickets whatsoever. It seems to be a bit of a mess. We've got some results. They are in. I believe this is Gabriella Pagan from 41 Action News.
While the Jackson County mandate states only 100 people can be allowed in, the Blue Springs District website states otherwise, saying every player, cheerleader, and dance team member participating would be given four tickets.
And with 60 players suiting up times four tickets per player, that easily brings the potential attendance crowd to 140 above the county limit, which is why we received two anonymous emails asking how things would add up. 41 Action News did reach out to the Blue Springs School District for comment regarding their ticket allowance, and we were told by a school spokesperson they were not interested in participating at this time.
Why couldn't we have done football in the spring? You know, I mean, we could have at least just done a wait and see. If the kids aren't even in the hallways of the school, they're not even allowed physically inside of the building, how are we letting them play football? I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. But the whole thing, it just seems a bit, it seems a little bit like theater at this point. So I hope everybody stays healthy. Go fight and win. Let's talk about the education aspect of heading back to school. And you know, again, we're doing this thing live. We have so many new guidelines. And unfortunately, you know, back to school, it's an expensive time.
We are very committed in Kansas City Public Schools to making sure that we're meeting the needs, all of the needs of our students and our families. And so that means we're going to go to extraordinary measures to help them in whatever way we possibly can.
This comes as the National Retail Federation Consumer Survey found families are planning to spend a record $101.6 billion on back to school shopping. They say the reason the number is so high is due to a lot of uncertainty regarding schools opening. So parents and guardians are happy that they don't have to spend money on supplies that can really take a toll on families financially.
Because I also work in education, I know how important it is to make sure that all families have what they need. And so the fact that KCPS is doing this for the community is really beneficial to those families that really can't get out because they're at work or doing other things for the kiddos.
We gotta help each other out. It takes a village. So if you need anything, I believe the district offices, the KCPS, the district office, should have some supplies and backpacks for you. But we gotta help each other out. And if you got any supplies you want to donate, find ways to reach out and do that, because they need us now more than ever. Absolutely. To the NBA, to sports. I guess not just the NBA. This movement was across all different leagues. The WNBA was just as active. MLS, they canceled games. The Major League Baseball. Who would have thought we would have seen Major League Baseball responding to this racial moment in the way that they have? NASCAR responded. I mean, this whole summer, spring, the whole year of 2020 has been something else.
The NBA on Friday announced steps it would take in support of social justice. That includes forming a social justice coalition, converting team arenas into voting locations for the 2020 general election, and developing advertising that targets greater civic engagement in national and local elections.
This is from SI.com, my boy Josh Briscoe. What up, Josh? He's from Sports Radio 810, he writes that Mahomes and Matthew, that's Pat Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu, have publicly spearheaded the team's emphasis on voter registration, with Mahomes partnering with LeBron James in the More Than a Vote initiative in June. And Mahomes discussed how he and the Chiefs could make voting and voting registration more accessible. And he wants to, you know, make this thing work. Pat Mahomes said in a tweet, "The change isn't made by watching from the sidelines. Let's do this." And he tweets at King James at More Than a Vote. And some more details about all sorts of stadiums and arenas being turned into Election Day sites. I haven't heard about T-Mobile Arena, which, by the way, it's always going to be the Sprint Center to me, but that would be awesome. Kitty, are you registered to vote?
Of course I'm registered to vote.
Do you vote in the primary? Kitty!
Ugh,
Kitty!
I know. I don't remember what I was doing, but I did not make it.
It wasn't important. I'm going to call you out. Listen, now you know that I'm going to call you out on the show.
Yes.
I expect you to do the same for me, but I will absolutely be throwing some shade on you. And you're going to vote in November, though, yeah?
Of course. I will wait in line all day, all night in my rainbow patriotic wear to vote that orange head out of office.
I hate having to do this one. Pour one out. This one hurts. This one hurt a lot. Friday, how many of us were sending those texts to our friends? Y'all, Black Panther died. Chadwick Boseman dying after a battle with colon cancer at the age of 43. Fellas, he was only 43 years old, all right? We got to get checked out.
A piece of actor Chadwick Boseman's legacy will live on in Kansas City. Boseman, who died on Friday from colon cancer, donated the Monarchs jersey he wore while filming 42 to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Bob Kendrick, the museum's president, says he is proud that Boseman's role as Jackie Robinson in that movie is what introduced him to the world.
For a lot of kids, and particularly urban kids, his role as Black Panther really was the first time that we've seen an African-American superhero. The selflessness, the strength of character, the courage, you know, as you're facing your own battle, to still yet find the wherewithal to be there to comfort those who are dealing with the exact same thing that you're dealing with. That's amazing.
So that means he was diagnosed 4 years ago. Now, if you're doing the math, that means that he was fighting colon cancer while filming Black Panther and the last two Avengers movies. Unreal. In fact, Steve, are you there? A little spoiler alert for us. We got Steven Serta doing sports later on in the show. Sports with Steven Serta, 610 Sports Radio. But he also does do a lot of movie talk, and he wanted to talk about Chadwick. Are you there, Steve? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the KC Morning Show. I got to. If you think I'm going to have you guest host, you don't know that yet, but you're going to be doing some guest hosting for me too.
Okay.
So I know you're our movie. You love the movies. We did a movie podcast together once upon a time. You love Chadwick Boseman. You texted me. We texted each other this weekend because we were both like just gutted, man. And I know you wanted to say some words, so the floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it goes without saying that it's just absolutely devastating that we lost Chadwick Boseman like so early on in his career. And but like what I think we need to focus on with this whole situation is that him keeping all of this to himself and to his family, to where, like, you know, Ryan Coogler, the director of Black Panther, wrote a really moving letter to Chadwick today, and he said he didn't even know about it. Like, none of the people around him and the people that worked with him every day had any idea that he was sick and that he was fighting this disease. And it's so unbelievably powerful that Chadwick Boseman understood the gravity of the roles that he was playing. And it's so unbelievably selfless that instead of the narrative around him being, oh, he got sick and he passed away, we lost a really talented artist way too soon, he said, no, that's not going to be my legacy. My legacy is going to be all these roles. My legacy is going to be Black children all over the world are going to see me up on the big screen and think that, like, that can be me one day. I can do that. I can accomplish that. And it's just one of the most selfless things that I've ever seen. It's unbelievable, and it just speaks to what an incredible person he is. And it's it's so devastating, but his legacy is going to change so many things for so many people. And I just think that that's how we need to remember him, is for all of the incredible things that he chose to do in the small amount of time that he knew he had left.
Like at the movie theater, when it came out, I was bartending, and it's like just seeing like all of, like the black kids coming out, and like that was their Luke Skywalker. Like, I mean, it was so cool. It was just an amazing moment. But where would you rank it? Like, Black Panther on your list is where?
I would say it's in my top five. I don't think I have like a legitimate rankings list. I guess I could sit down and actually put that together, but it's definitely in my top five because of how powerful the film is. And like, if you notice, like in Avengers Endgame, that clip was circulating on Twitter kind of this weekend, where, you know, the on your left thing with Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
On your left.
There's a reason that they had Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. There's a reason that when those portals open up, because that's the scene that the entire movie had been building towards. And that's the scene that made me cry like six times when I was going to see Avengers Endgame like twice a week when it was out in theaters. But there's a reason that Chadwick Boseman was the first one who stepped out, because the Russo brothers also understood the gravity of him being the first guy that comes out of the portal, of him being the first superhero that comes out of the portal as the final battle is, you know, coming to an end in this epic 22 movie story is coming to a conclusion. Like, they chose to have him be the guy that shows up first. And that's incredible.
Thanks, Steve. All right, we're going to stay on the line because we got sports. You're not done yet. That was very well done. You're warmed up. Excellent job. You're some excellent audio level right there, Steve. All right, y'all. The plot thickens from COVID to the flu.
Many people are asking, when should you get a vaccine? Well, doctors at the University of Kansas Health tell me late September to early October is ideal. Late October to early November is likely the latest you can get it while still providing full immunity through the entire flu season. But if November and December roll around and you still haven't received your vaccine, you still should do so. In this case, it is literally better late than never.
Do it! Do that! Get your flu shots. Have you seen this going around? There is a petition. In fact, I know you have. It has been making the waves around Kansas City. You may have seen some pop-up shops, people trying to get some signatures, trying to recall Mayor Q.
It's one of many efforts organized partly by Kyle Blaylock, who is also organizing a Facebook group with more than 11,000 followers. Blaylock says the mayor hasn't led well during civic unrest in a violent summer in Kansas City, and put health mandates into effect that hurt small business owners.
Putting limitations on businesses and telling them they can only have so many people in there at a small business, and 1,000 people can go to Walmart. It's not logical.
As there are people out signing these petitions, there are others who disagree.
I won't be signing that petition.
Kansas City Councilman Eric Bunch says now is not the time for a recall, saying health orders like the early shutdowns and wearing masks have clearly worked to save lives.
And we have a mayor who believes in following the science, and I think that's admirable.
So I have done a bit of a deep dive into this, because the inklings of this petition, it's been a few weeks now, actually, and I was trying to see how much this was actually going to take off. Like, is this just going to be some guy on Reddit who's upset or what? And I'll be totally real with y'all. From what I have found, this seems to have been, and if the guy wants to come on the show and talk about it, by all means, the door is open. But it seems to me that this whole thing started primarily after the mask mandates went into effect. A bunch of folks were not digging the whole stepping on my freedom dealio. And it would appear that once that kind of got taken off, once he got enough folks who were upset about the mask mandate, that they were able to throw in some other things, like Mayor Q's response to the Black Lives Matter movement. We may have remembered that viral moment that even I was involved, that Facebook moment where we got folks who were on the force. They thought that doctored image of Mayor Q holding a F the police shirt, they thought that was real. And I know a lot of folks took that and that, you know, that angst. And, you know, here we are. We have a recall Mayor Q petition. Mayor Q did not speak about this personally, but his office did release a statement. As he has during his 1 year in office, Mayor Lucas will continue to work hard each day for all Kansas Cityans and will not be distracted by divisive anti-mask partisan politics. That's from his comms director. She added that the city's COVID-19 July resident survey says that 78% of residents support the new orders that require face masks to be worn in public places, and more than two-thirds of Kansas Cityans believe local officials in our community are doing a good job keeping residents informed about the COVID-19 pandemic. So there we go. We'll see what happens, see if anything comes out of this. I wouldn't expect a recall election, but hey, we want to find reasons to yell, and so let's find a reason to yell. The VMAs were last night. I totally missed it, and I work in music, so I feel like I completely dropped the ball. Did you see any of this stuff, Kitty? Did you watch anything?
I did not even know they were occurring last night, so this is news to me as of right now.
Yeah, and I'm somebody who actually, I still enjoy, like, award shows and stuff like that. I'm that guy.
Doja Cat!
For Best Direction, Taylor Swift, The Man.
For Best Hip Hop, Megan Thee Stallion.
Best Pop, BTS On.
Yeah, so last night you had your VMAs, your Video Music Awards Video of the Year that went to The Weeknd. Blinding Lights, it's awesome. He gave a very somber speech, though. He was like in no mood to have a he was in no mood to be celebrating. He wanted to talk about police brutality. Artist of the Year, that went to one of your favorites, Kitty. That went to Lady Gaga. Song of the Year, that went to Lady Gaga as well. Also, Ariana Grande on that track.
Yeah.
Rain on Me. Let's see what else we had here. Best Pop went to BTS. That was on. Let's see here. Best Music Video from Home. That went to Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. Stuck With You. Weren't they dating for a while? Weren't they a thing?
No.
Was that not a thing?
No.
What the hell?
I'm appalled.
What is this nonsense? Best Alternative. I work in an alternative music station.
Was it Post Malone?
No, it was not. Easy. All right. Yes. Did we play that same Post Malone track? Yes. But it's still a banger. We love Circles. The nominees were, who do we have here? The 1975, All Time Low, Phineas, Lana Del Rey, 21 Pilots, and the winner. The winner. Mm-hmm. Was Machine Gun Kelly?
Barf City.
What the hell? Bloody Valentine. Now, it's not a bad track. It's not terrible.
No,
but what the hell?
No.
Best
no,
rock song no. went to, let's see, that was Coldplay. Okay, not bad. Blink-182, Evanescence was nominated. Okay, what year is it? Fall Out Boy, Green Day, and The Killers. They all got nominated in that one. Any other one you're looking forward to? It's all right. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares about award shows, I guess, except for me. Let's wrap it up with this. Let's go ahead and do another music story. This 10-year-old girl flexing on Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. She called him out.
I challenge you to a drama.
So by the way, that's her. That is her right now. On them drums. This is her video that she sent to Dave Grohl via social media. Dave Grohl responded and said, "Hey, Nandy," her name is Nandy Bushel, "challenge accepted. Haven't played these songs in a long time. Thanks for the inspiration. It is now your move, your friend in rock, Dave Grohl." Love it.
I do not love it.
What?
You know I do not like the Foo Fighters. You cannot play in a band with the Kurt Cobain and then produce something as so much of a turd as the Foo Fighters.
Don't be that girl.
I am that girl. Yeah.
Listen, Dave Grohl.
And the Foo Fighters.
Are a better band.
The
Nirvana
band.
Ever could have or ever would
I'm
have
I'm taking
been.
My set off. I'm I'll taking my headset it. Off.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.
a legend amongst these parts and always frosty, always, always frosty. Mayor Sly James, joining us on your KC Morning Show, an honor and a privilege, sir. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here, Artzell. How's everything with you, my friend?
Things are going about as KC good as they can.
That's a good thing.
I am a big proponent, and I know you are as well, of the, you know, it takes a village route. You know, it takes all of us doing this together, and we got to check up on our folks. So I'm just going to kick it off with a simple question, Mr. Mayor. How are you? We're talking COVID. We're talking a racial reckoning. We're talking an election year. You have a very unique perspective to watch all of this.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, family's doing well. Everybody's doing well. We're hunkering down and wearing our masks and social distancing and staying in when we can, and going out seldom, and really haven't missed a beat. You know, it's a great time for reflection. A lot of things are in the air, you know, the COVID crisis, leadership issues, certainly the social unrest, the racial issues are out there. And, you know, in some ways, this pandemic has given people, I hope, a time to think about what's going on and to reevaluate what are the things that are really important in life, and how are we going to make things better? And that seems to be in the air a lot, and I'm glad to see it. I just hope that we do something that's positive to make sure that the changes that people want to see take place, and that we come out of this thing better than we went in.
The first thing a lot of us want to do, especially even those who are good intended, is to come up with those quick solutions, and especially a quick solution that you can do with maybe 240 characters on Twitter. Now, that's not really how this thing is done, and I'm curious if we need to take a step back and maybe ask different questions. So I'm curious for you, Mr. Mayor, what are the questions that you think we should be asking? Let's not jump to the solutions yet. What are the questions that maybe we're not even asking in Kansas City?
I think one question that we all ought to ask is, if the system doesn't work for everybody, does it work as well as it could for me? And if you come to the conclusion that it doesn't work for everybody, then it can't possibly work as well as it could for you or for me. The bottom line is that, you know, this country was built with a lot of sayings and protestations and all sorts of different things. But one thing that seemed to be one thing that was common amongst everybody was the fact that this was the United States. And right now, we're not very united. We're very definitely divided. So I think we need to ask each other, if we remain in this posture for too long, will we ever become the United States that everybody envisions? And if not, what do we need to do in order to make it so?
You served as mayor from 2011 to 2019. And we've always been a very partisan country, but I think we can all agree that something has happened recently. I'm going to say it's even farther back than 2016, but something got ramped up to 11. And I think you were part of it. I think you saw it. So do you know what it is that got us to going in those opposite directions, where we became even more tribal than even we thought we could have been?
The reason that 2016 happened is because of the things that happened prior to 2016. Weeds don't grow in well-tended soil. And what we have had is we have ignored some of the most chronic issues and problems in this country for decades upon decades. We've ignored the ravages of poverty. We've ignored the ravages of racism. We've ignored separate and unequal. And we have continued to perpetuate those things by the fact that we have ignored them. We have become enamored with our own single issues and failed to look at the broader picture. We have become so selfish in our approach to things that we want what we want, and we don't really care what you want. If we are going to make the change, then we need to, first of all, educate ourselves as to the true history of this country, the true background, why things got to where they were, and they're never as simple as they seem. A lot of things have been embedded in government. They've been passed through legislation that didn't seem all that important at the time. It had far-reaching consequences, which is why who's on the judge's bench makes a huge difference in the long term. The bottom line is that we have gotten to the point where if things are working okay for me, then the hell with you. That's not how you do things, and we need to understand that we're all connected. And the first thing that we need to do in terms of recognizing that we're all connected is focus on problems that have the biggest impact on the most people. You know, childcare, for example, as Winston Fisher and I write about in our book, The Opportunity Agenda, affects everybody. It affects the economy because it's one of those things that keeps women out of the workforce. denies them the opportunity to build careers, and frankly, denies everybody else the opportunity to have the benefit of their knowledge and their ideas on the table so that we can all examine them and move forward.
I'm so happy you brought up that book. I'm so happy that that's where we're going to transition to next, because I have so many questions. I have a few, some of which are just me being nosy, and I think you could probably figure out what that question is going to be. But I do want to talk about the substance of the book. It is called The Opportunity Agenda, A Bold Democratic Plan to Grow the Middle Class. When I say book, I just finished it. It is more of a... I want to say it's more of a playbook. Am I close on that? Was that kind of what the intention was?
It really is. It's really designed to be a set of recommendations on policy that could have benefit for people, everyday people in their everyday lives that have an impact on them, so that once again, we could get back to the idea and the concept of government for the people, by the people, not for the politicians, for their own personal gain. The idea of the book was very simple. Deal with the issues that most people have to deal with every day. How do we make sure that our kids are safe and that have quality childcare? What do we do about kids that are poor and minority that have a 30 million word gap in their vocabularies and what they've heard by the time they're 3 years old? Is it right that we have kids that enter kindergarten 2 years behind at the age of five? How do you get 2 years behind anything by the age of five? What do we do about that as kids grow older? How do we make sure the kids that aren't interested in STEM get an education that will help them feed their families and support themselves and contribute to society? Our infrastructure is crumbling. We hear people talk about it. Nobody does anything about it. You know, minorities, women, no access to capital when it comes to building a business or starting out as an entrepreneur. And the fact that an entrepreneur is not as likely to have a retirement plan or benefits as a person working for GM, when the entrepreneurs are creating most of the jobs in this country right now. Entrepreneurs and small businesses are the engine of this country, and we're not taking care of them, and we're certainly not taking care of them in an equitable fashion. All these things are nuts and bolts issues, things that will benefit everybody. They're not talking about monetary policy in Russia. They're not talking about whether the G4 should be the G5 or the G5 should be the G6 or any of that stuff. What people talk about is, I've got to go to work and I have no place to keep my kids today. What do I do? I'm driving down the street and I hit yet another big pothole. My axle breaks and I don't have the money to fix my car. What do I do? I'm sitting here, I'm working my butt off, but when I reach 65, 68, am I going to have any money to live on because I won't be able to work, can't work at that time and have no savings, have no retirement plan? Yeah. These are things that government should be addressing and they're not. And Democrats are in the best position to do it because really these are things that are in the Democratic plank. The Republican Party talks about family values, but when you look at locking kids up in jails and prisons coming across the border, that's not really a family-oriented policy. Those types of things just cut against the grain. So at the end of the day, it takes long, prolonged, steady, constant, sustained leadership to resolve these problems. And if we can get a party to pick up this mantle and provide those everyday solutions and stay in power long enough to actually see the tide start to turn, then we're all better off for it. A house divided cannot stand. I think that was said by somebody a long time ago, and it was one of the very few things that they said that was absolutely correct. But at the end of the day, if we don't get our act together and stand together, then we're going to simply fall apart. It's that simple.
Is it a situation of the house isn't in order, or is the house on fire and we need to rebuild something new?
The house is not in order and there's a fire in the yard that's moving towards the house. We still have access to a water hose in the backyard. We can put it out and then get the house straightened out. But right now, nobody's got their hand on the hose. Everybody's hands are on their own hoses trying to water down the person next to them. Because they don't like what they're saying. They have a different political belief. They're in a different tribe, whatever the case may be.
I'm hearing a very fired up Sly James. I'm hearing a very let's get to work Sly James. And I told you I had a follow-up question about this book, about me being nosy. It sounds to me like you're running for something.
No. No. I'm not running for anything. I know from being in an office that a lot of times you can get more done out of office. I have no desire to play the game that's being played right now, which is you get in the office and the first thing you do is start raising money for your next political campaign because you like being in office and you want to stay there. I also know that when you start paying more attention to being reelected than what you do once you're elected, then you start making decisions that are designed to ensure that you're reelected, which means you're never going to take on the hard issues. You're going to be too afraid of offending people with money. And those people with money are the ones that allow you to stay in office. So I have no desire to play that game. What I'd really rather play is the game of trying to make sure that people outside of the elected offices and positions understand that there is the power. They have the power to affect change. They have the power to decide who sits in those offices and why. They have the power to demand change and to demand that the things that are important in their lives be addressed in some cogent, consistent, sustainable way so that life can be better for more people in this country. They have the right to demand that people be treated equally and equitably, and they're not the same. They have the right to say to people in office, we put you in there and we will take you out if you don't do the things that you're supposed to do. People always complain about term limits, but there's a term limit every 2 years in Congress and every 4 years on the state level and every 6 years in the Senate. And yet they continue to elect the same bozos that they then give low ratings to because of their performance, because we're not educated, and because if the person says one thing, I'm in favor of, or I'm against blank, that's all I need to hear. I don't care about anything else. They can be the world's worst person on every other issue out there. But as long as they have that one issue that I care about, that's all I care about. I don't care about the rest of the country. I don't care what else is needed. I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm going to go with the person who solves that, who doesn't solve it. None of these problems that people, these single issue problems that people are concerned about have been solved. They've just been talked about. Their platitudes, their political speak, they're designed to suck people into voting for them at election time. And at the end of the day, when they get into office, they don't do anything. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Congress right now. Not much of anything. People can't get past the tribal political divide in order to do anything for the people of this country.
Mayor Sly James, I have one last question for you. Is it still a good day? Is it still a good day to be a Kansas Cityan?
It's always a good day to be a Kansas Cityan. This is an underrated, underappreciated city by folks that don't know anything about it, but the people who live here love it. They treat it with respect. And you can tell that that's true because of the people who did not grow up here and have found a way to be here through athletics or whatever, or through jobs. They don't want to leave once they come in. So yeah, it's a great day to be a Kansas Cityan, and every day is.
Kansas City, here we come. Mayor Sly James, thank you so much, sir. I cannot wait to talk to you again soon because I got more questions. I'm going to keep being nosy. You know I will.
All right, brother. Anytime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Your style is unorthodox, but effective.
The KC Morning Show.
Sports! Sports with Steven Serta. Do you want an intro? I usually give an intro. Pete used to get an intro. I need some. Give me some basic info. Can I get a hometown? Where do you want to be billed from?
I mean, I'm from Kansas City.
Okay. And do you have a nickname? What do they call you?
I guess I grew up in Shawnee.
Okay. Now let's go ahead and scratch that from the record. What do they call you at 6'10"? Anything?
Just Serta.
From the school of hard knocks, representing 6'10" Sports Radio. Steven Serta! That's about as good as I can get. You gave me nothing to work with.
I mean, you kind of put me on the spot. You didn't tell me, you asked me for a bio and if I have nicknames or if I have like a wrestling name. How was I supposed to know that?
You've done this show with me before. You understand we do this thing live.
I didn't know I needed an alter ego.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to have a lot of like random guest hosts that are going to be doing sports. So this will not be your last time doing this. So next time, can you at least get this figured out? I want to make sound legit because right now we are swinging and missing.
I'm going to write something up. I'm going to have a full-blown wrestling character.
Life is good, Steven. I haven't seen you in forever. How's the job? How's 6'10"?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I haven't really been doing anything outside of, I still go to the office every day. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Football's right around the corner. We're less than 2 weeks away. I've got a bunch of cool stuff that I'm working on for football season. That is obviously still practicing social distancing, and I will be wearing a mask. I probably won't be at many Chiefs games this season, but I'll still be super active on the football front.
Are you going to be the one they send out to be the gopher for the audio and all that stuff?
No, so because everything, you know, you can watch all the Chiefs press conferences on Zoom right now. The Chiefs are pretty good about sharing those on social media and stuff like that. That's basically all of our access this season. So it's some writers and some TV people are going to be allowed to go to the games, maybe some radio people, but it's so limited. They're basically just not, I mean, because you can't do anything anyways. You're not going to have in-person press conferences this year. So it's, you can go hang out in the press box, watch the game, and then you pretty much just sit and wait for the Zoom call to start. And so there's not nearly as much this season. Media this season for football is going to be tough. They just announced last week, I think, the NFL announced that they're not going to allow sideline reporters.
As NFL games will have no on-field cheerleaders, VIP guests, or independent media this season, part of a new set of uniform protocols released by the league to minimize risk of a COVID-19 outbreak. Field access strictly limited to people in 10 categories with direct roles in producing or recording the game itself, but no pregame panelists or independent sideline reporters will be permitted. Also banned from the field, athletic trainer spotters, cheerleaders, mascots, guests, and non-working or non-essential team staff.
At least national sideline reporters. We don't know about local sideline reporters yet, but that means that reporters are probably going to be in the stands or they're just going to be in the booth. And so they're not going to have the normal, you know, like your Aaron Andrews doing sideline interviews and stuff like that. That's not happening this year.
You're trying to make it sound like, you know, it's a fight for a pass. Let's be real, man. You were the lowest on the totem pole. You weren't going to get a pass. You were never going to get one.
Man.
Pre-COVID, post-COVID, doesn't matter.
I feel like I could make a call and I could get in that press box.
This guy.
I really want to go sit at the press box all day just to do a Zoom later on that I could Zoom from home when I'm at home watching Red Zone all day.
This guy. All right, Steve. Sports. What's going on in the news?
Well, Chiefs training camp ended over the weekend. They don't have any serious injuries as they're getting ready to start their regular practice schedule ahead of a season opener on September 10th against the Houston Texans. So that's good. Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones were banged up a little bit early on in camp, but they both seem to be healthy now. Sammy Watkins was banged up, but he seems to be healthy now. So as far as the Chiefs go, they look like they're primed and ready for that opening Thursday night kickoff. Also, one of the Chiefs PR people hinting at the Chiefs are getting their Super Bowl rings this Tuesday, which will be presented at that Thursday home opener against the Houston Texans. So Chiefs fans, you might actually get to see the Chiefs Super Bowl rings this week.
Steve, I mean, you've got to have some ideas. Like, we're going to see a barbecue sauce on there?
Bottle of barbecue sauce encrusted in, like, diamonds and gems is funny to me. I don't think that they have that kind of sense of humor.
Listen, all right, I'm an abstract artist, all right? I'm just saying, I want this thing to be gaudy. I want it to be stupid. I want it to be, like, so blinged out. I want it to be just completely over the top. I want Ric Flair levels of ridiculousness on this thing.
Yeah, me too. I would love that. I don't know if a rack of ribs encrusted in diamonds is going to make the cut on the Chiefs' first Super Bowl ring in 50 years.
You've got to tell me how this went, Steve, because I know sports radio and race relations is just a wonderful cluster to listen to. It's just it's excellent. The protests throughout the weekend post Jacob Blake. What was sports radio like? What kind of calls did you get? I have to know.
Well, I think you know what the calls were like. This is something that we've been battling in sports radio since Colin Kaepernick. And a big problem with sports radio is that sports radio's demographics tend to skew towards middle-aged white conservatives. And now a lot of people in media tend to be a little bit more progressive. And so we have our opinions on those things, and people generally, we get the stick to sports crowd, and they want us to try to divide sports and politics as if that's something you can even do anymore, which you can't. And I'm not in favor of that, because I think that they intertwine. And what the players in the NBA did this week with the boycotting of games, with the protests that they've been doing all season long, is absolutely incredible. And that's been a popular topic of conversation with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, because everybody wants to know, are you guys going to protest in some way on opening night? They haven't really answered that, and they haven't said that they've necessarily discussed something like that. But Patrick Mahomes has been at the forefront of a lot of these stuff. He's one of the main reasons that they're turning Arrowhead into a registration station for on voting day. And so it kind of feels like he has to make a statement on it, or like he's got to do it in some way. But at this point in his career, I don't think that Patrick Mahomes can do anything wrong in fans' eyes. But there is a few of the clowns who are like, oh, I was a Chiefs fan and I loved Mahomes until he started talking about politics. I'll never watch again. That person's an idiot. That person's going to keep watching Chiefs games. They're just trying to look cool on social media.
You had comments that you made with Peter King earlier this week about fans who, you know, may not be supportive, but, you know, fancy themselves as Chiefs fans. But of course, the comments and stuff that they've made, you know, on your timeline and Tyron's timeline about what you all are doing for voter registration and Black Lives Matter. Could you kind of expound on that if you would?
It's more of I'm going to do whatever I believe and what I believe is right. And I'm going to do whatever I can to fight for equality for all people. And I mean, I feel like I've shown that over this offseason. I'm going to continue that fight. And I'm not worried about people how they're going to do negative stuff back to me. I'm worried about doing what's right for humanity and making sure that all people feel equal.
Steven Serta, Middays, Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Give me some plugs, huh? What's your handles? How can people find you, Steven?
At Steven Serta, StephenSerda on Twitter. Please follow me. I talk about movies and sports all the time. I'm kind of funny occasionally.
You've co-hosted the show before. I might have to have you hop on again. We're doing it by committee. Quarterback by committee? No. Co-host by committee. Yeah.
Well, I got a pretty nice Zoom set up at home.
On the ready, Steven Serda. All right, man. Appreciate you, brother. I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
The KC Morning Show.
Kitty, well done. Your first show in the books. You got to hear from the former mayor. Sly James was on this show. How dope was that? You also got a chance to hang out with Steven Serta. You can't win them all, but Sly James was pretty dope, right?
That was pretty cool, yes.
You're a little nervous walking into the show this morning, you know, but
I was mostly tired this morning.
I will tell you this right now, you're never going to get used to it. They always say, like, whenever I got my first morning show gig, they say, you never get used to waking up. You can get used to it happening to you. But as far as you waking up all sunshine, ready to go, taking on the day with a smile on your face, that ain't going to happen. So welcome. Welcome to the show. You're going to love it. You did a great job today. You did an excellent job. You should be very, very proud of yourself.
I feel honored, actually. Being on the show, it was sort of like being knighted by the queen.
Oh, wow.
I'm the chosen one.
So you have a giveaway. Look at you. Your first show already giving stuff away. We partnered with Love Inc., correct? How do you spell that? Because it's not what you would think. Spell that for us, because I want people to check out this account.
You can check it out at LoveNKC, but NKC is one word. So, Inc., INKC.
She actually painted me up like one,
yes,
of her, like one of those little French maids. It was beautiful. I looked excellent.
She is a fantastic painter. The way she sees color is very interesting to me, which I think is why her art is doing so well.
No, she's crushing right now. She's doing an excellent job.
It's so much different than a lot of other things you see, especially for commissions. She does this style that she calls her neon world.
Danny is her name, and she is an artist by every sense of the word. She is she's excellent, and she did one of me that almost kind of felt like that Obama style painting, you know. So, long story short, this is a long walk to tell you that we're giving you a free portrait, and we had people sign up on the social medias last week. We're gonna be doing tons more giveaways because this is the repilot, baby. This is a brand new KC Morning Show. You have a winner. You want to do that now?
I do. I have a winner right now. Drum roll, please. Oh, that was a piss poor job.
I need to get that 10-year-old to do it. Where's that 10-year-old?
All right. And the winner of the long-awaited painting giveaway is Corey Roberts, 1995.
There you go. Corey Roberts, 1995. Congrats. You're going to be looking real nice, getting painted up, my friend. Corey Roberts, what's it? What's one more time?
Corey Roberts, 1995. Follow him.
If you are listening, hit us up. And if not, we will find you. And if we can't find you, we're going to go to somebody else. So there's still a chance, KC Morning Hose.
And you know, my mother is actually listening to the show. So I just like to say, hey, Ma, how's it going? Right, I made it.
This ain't shout out radio.
Mama,
Kitty.
I made it.
Made it, Ma. Kitty, excellent job today. Thank you to Mayor Slide James. That was an excellent conversation. In fact, we're going to probably post the full audio. We went about 40 minutes, so we'll probably post that full audio either Tuesday or Thursday this week, because our plan is to post audio for you every day of the week. This is the repilot.
We are going to be pumping out content.
Ooh, look at you go. Give me a letter.
6.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, so that's dead now. That's no longer going to be a thing. We're done with that now. My name is Hartzell. Kitty, excellent job. This is your KC Morning Show. We will see you.
The KC Morning Show.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Subscribe.